is your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
Who cares when? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins, your health and well-being radio show here live on channelradio.co.uk with me, Jan Mulligan. And unfortunately today I am flying solo as Angela has other commitments, family commitments today. So we're wishing Angela and her family well, hoping all good news comes out from today and she'll be back with us soon. But I'm not totally on my own because I do have a great guest with me today, Deborah Mulvaney of Shaping Wellness. Hello, Deborah.
Hi.
Now, Deborah and I have met several times over the years at networking. And as you do, you say, oh, what do you do? And what do you do? And we've passed pleasantries and had the odd conversation, but we've never really interrogated each other.
No, we haven't.
So it's my chance because she's not allowed to interrogate me today. But I have lots of delving questions for Deborah and the work that she does around family wellness, well-being in general, nutrition, allergy testing. There's so much we could talk about, but as we warn our guests every week, the hour will fly by, so we might only discuss one topic, but it will be a brilliant one, whichever one we go for. So welcome, Deborah, to the show.
Thank you, Jan.
We are rather warm in the studio today, folks, so in the music breaks we will be turning the air conditioning back on so that we don't swelter totally. So if when we come back from any music break it sounds like there's a 747 coming across the airways, it's the air conditioning and I forgot to turn it off. So just bear with me and I will get there. Right, well, to the matter at hand. Deborah, you are Shaping Wellness.
I am.
Which is?
It's a family nutrition and health business in Faversham.
And is this something you've always been interested in?
Nope.
Okay, how far back can we go?
Well, I don't know, childhood.
It's not a therapy session, Deborah. Yeah.
I have to skim a few things. No, I grew up wanting to be an air stewardess.
Okay.
But not very good at English, and apparently that was one of the qualifications to get.
They always put blocks in the way, yeah, don't they? Okay,
yeah. So anybody that knows me, they'll know that, you know, that was a good block.
Right.
But I was really into cars.
Okay.
We lived next to a scrapyard, so I loved tinkering. So I actually wanted to be in the motor industry.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a BTEC National Diploma in Vehicle Body Engineering.
Now, as yet, I think it's the most interesting qualification we've had so far. Totally out of left field.
Yeah. I even did my exams to become a member of the Institute of Motor Industries.
Right.
But unfortunately, it was a very male-dominated field in them days, and I couldn't get a job anywhere. I wanted to be an insurance assessor.
Right.
So I ended up selling jewellery in a department store. I still love jewellery.
Mm-hmm.
But what steered me onto a new path was actually looking after my grandmother for a year who had been knocked down by a car. And the doctors said she would never get out of hospital alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually volunteered to look after her at home. And it was a very hard thing to do, very solitary. But I discovered things like she was not eating. She was surviving on rich tea biscuits.
Right.
So her nutrition was really bad. And I ended up nursing her back to health, defied all the doctors. You know, and that's where I became interested and decided that I wanted to go back to college and I wanted to be a GP. So
may I ask a delicate question? How old were you at this point?
I was about 24 at the time.
Right, so a mature student.
Mature student, went back to college, started A-level biology, chemistry and maths. But the GP thing sort of got sidelined because I fell in love with biochemistry. It was one of the subjects on the biology course, and I just loved it. I loved the way that what we eat, how it's used in the body. And I ended up on, that's how I ended up in Kent, actually. I ended up on a degree course for biochemistry with medical bioscience actually here in Kent.
Now, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
So you've said there that biochemistry, and then you said it's how things interact, go through our body.
Yeah.
Is that it in a nutshell? Is it bio
sort
that
of.
It's human and chemistry as in the reactions?
Yes. Basically, right. It's nutrition. If you was to sum it up very, very briefly, nutrition at the cellular level.
Right.
At the actual atomic, you know, biochemical mm-hmm. reaction level.
And so is a natural career path nutrition, or are yes, you expected to is, do something else afterwards?
Well, it can be. Research is mainly one of the biggest career paths, mm-hmm. and nutrition is part of that. A lot of the top nutritionists in the world are biochemists.
Right.
It's a good career path.
So you came out with eyes open, no longer GP.
No.
That's almost a career saved, isn't it?
Yeah, considering my opinion of GPs these days.
We won't go there.
We won't go there.
So you came out armed with this passion, this mm-hmm. new knowledge, and you set up your own business, or did you think about
actually,
joining somebody else?
No, it actually even didn't happen that quickly.
Right.
It took having children. Children sort of slowed my career path down.
Okay.
I was going to teach. When my youngest daughter was 18 months old, discovered that she was allergic to artificial additives. I didn't even... You know, I had no idea what the consequences of what that was till somebody said that their child couldn't have some cordial, and I asked them why, and they sat there and described my youngest daughter, and I was like, okay. So we decided that we would do a 2-week ban of that substance. It mm-hmm. was sodium benzoate,
right.
The substance. It's an E number, E211. Actually, we didn't actually notice any difference until somebody accidentally gave her an orange cordial 2 weeks later. And, oh, my God, the difference.
Big reaction.
Instantly was frightening. She turned from a lovely child that listened and played nicely to somebody that was hyper. You could have scraped her off the ceiling. She wouldn't listen to you. She was running around like a loony.
That's just from one drink.
From one drink, and that really opened my eyes, and mm-hmm. that was when I started paying attention to everything that we ate.
And these ingredients, they're just in so much, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that must have radically changed what was in your cupboard at
home.
Oh,
totally. And it was such a nightmare. You know, in those days, sweets had it in it. We discovered that she was very sensitive to azo dyes. So a blue Smartie to her was like giving her ecstasy. it was quite frightening. One particular night that highlighted it was she had a really bad cough and couldn't get to sleep one night. Sent my husband out to get her some cough medicine. Mm-hmm. And very stupidly, we didn't look at the ingredients, and it had sodium benzoate in it. This cough medicine was supposed to be a sedative. She was bouncing on her bed like it was a trampoline in 5 minutes, and we couldn't get her settled down. It was quite scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. So have you now completely eliminated, or are there still the odd occasions when...
Well, sometimes you can't completely eliminate everything. Bless her, she has had friends that have spiked her drink on... Well, actually, this one... I hope she doesn't mind me telling you this, but it was one trip away. And she's always told her friends, no, I can't have that. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know whether they didn't believe her, so they put a blue Smartie in her drinking water in the night. And she woke up in the morning, the room was absolutely trash, and said, what happened? And they went, we're never giving you a blue Smartie again. And because she'd just gone bananas.
Yeah. People don't understand, do they, if they don't have the experience themselves?
Oh, no. And in family, they think that you're depriving your children. Mm. In fact, that reminds me of a very funny story of taking my kids to see my sister, and she thought it was criminal that I didn't let my kids have sweets and they didn't have Coca-Cola. And she slyly tried to feed them some behind my back. Yeah, she didn't do that again after one particular night when
she learned the lesson.
She learned the lesson, especially when she told us she was wrinkly. She made the mistake once. She was sort of under the influence, shall we say, of asking her, who do you think's older, me or your mum? And I'm the oldest. Mm-hmm. And she went, you are. And she said, why? She said, because you've got more wrinkles. And it was just like, I was so I was smiling and laughing inside because I just thought, you've got what you deserve.
It's like a truth drug for
yes,
her.
Yes, absolutely.
So what age was she when you started to think there was a problem?
18 months old.
18 months that young. Yeah. And how old is she now?
She's 15 now.
And thriving?
Yes,
well?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thankful, or is she not really aware of what you went through?
No, I think she's fully aware.
Yeah.
I mean, she's had her own ups and downs with it over the years. I mean, her classmate spiking a drink was a bit of an eye-opener for her. And I think, yeah, it's been tough, but she knows what she can do. And because I regard myself as a teacher, I've never just said, no, you can't have that. I've always said why and always given her an alternative. And so I think she's okay.
But it makes sense that way, doesn't it? It's with anybody. If somebody says, no, you can't, the human instinct is
to want
it. I want to do that.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I never, ever say that to one of my clients. Mm-hmm. I never tell them they can't have something because they'll only walk through the door thinking about it and it'll be the first thing they reach for.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, game over.
Well, there was we didn't have time for it last week, but there was an interesting article on the programme Trust Me, I'm a Doctor about chocolate on cravings.
Yes.
And this study works on the basis that if you think about something, so imagine it's chocolate, that's what you crave and you eat a lot of it and you're trying to cut down. And they said what you need to do is imagine yourself eating a small piece of chocolate very, very slowly. It's melting or you're chewing it, however you eat it. And when that's finished, imagine another one and do it up to 30 times and then eat your chocolate. And they said for 40% of study participants, they ate significantly less than the amount that was on offer. Whereas normally if there was a bowl on offer, they'd have eaten the whole bowl. And that's exactly the same thing. If you say to somebody, no, you can't have chocolate, then they're going to want to eat it.
Exactly. So, and a big part of that as well is conscious eating. And people eat totally unconsciously. They eat distracted. The brain doesn't recognise they've had it. So if you're sat there with a bowl of chocolate and you're not actually registering you're having it, you'll just keep going and keep going. That's how one biscuit turns into a packet.
So your daughter got you interested into the sort of allergy testing, nutrition side of things.
Absolutely, yeah.
What was the next step from there?
The next step from there was my own health, really. As you know, I've struggled for a long time. I have an underactive thyroid that doesn't play games, doesn't respond to my medication. Just found out that actually I've been suffering from sleep apnea for 20 years. So I'm sort of hoping that that is going to have a positive impact now I'm actually sleeping. And other issues that were created through having children. So I have lax ligaments. I've got things going on with my hip and my knees. So movement and exercise has been a big issue.
Yeah.
And controlling my weight has been a big issue. So,
And do you find that's a problem when people have a conception of what they assume a nutritionist and a well-being person is going to look like?
Yeah, it is a big problem. The biggest problem I have is promoting myself.
Right.
In an environment that I don't get the chance to speak. So you won't find me at shows. You might find a team of people there that are representing me, but you won't necessarily find me because it's not the right platform.
Okay.
It's why I network. Gives me the ability to get people over prejudging me because people naturally do.
Yes. However much one tries not to, there's that first look instinct. It's like they say, love at first sight.
Exactly.
Thought at first sight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, people can be so nasty sometimes. When I first started, I used to have a sign written car and it had slim, healthy, fit and wealthy on the side. And I used to get comments like, oh, you're a great advertisement for your business, aren't you? You know, that was devastating.
Yeah.
I can cope with that now. I defy them to say it to me now.
You've had the boxing
I've
lessons.
I've had far too many hours of personal development since then.
And talking of personal development, you've chosen our first piece of music for today, which is Shine by Take That.
Yeah.
And tell me your reason for that.
Because when I very first heard that song, it was one of those times when you hear the right thing at the right time. And it just felt good. And whenever I feel like I need to move on. I need to pick myself up. I listen to it. And it's just, you know, that's what I want everybody to do. I want them to shine.
Excellent. Well, everybody, grab your cold drink, because I doubt you're having tea in this weather. Sit back and shine.
You're such a big star to me. You're everything I want to be. But you're stuck in a hole, and I want you to get out. I don't know what there is to see, but I know it's time for you to leave. We're all just pushing along, trying to figure it out. Out, out, out. All your anticipation pulls you down, when you can have it all. You can have it all. It's not good for your health. I know that you can change, so clear your head and come round. You only have to open your eyes. You might just get a big surprise, and it may feel good. And you might want to smile, smile, smile. Oh, don't you let your demons pull you down, 'cause you can have it all. You can have it all.
So welcome back to Who Cares Wins with me, Jan Mulligan, and my guest today is Deborah Mulvaney.
Hi again.
Hi, Deborah. And I should just mention, we are sponsored by the kind people at Kent Connections. If you see their brochure, their magazine, it's available in most health-orientated shops, but other shops around Kent, and it has a list of great therapists, practitioners, services that are available in the health and wellbeing industry. It's generally free of charge, so pick up a copy of that, and we're generally advertised in the front cover, so thank you, Kent Connections. Back to topic. So, Deborah, before the break, you were explaining how you went from car mechanic to jewellery sales supremo to aspiring GP, with then a detour via biochemistry to nutrition and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So I love your journey.
Thank you.
So we're going to keep going on your journey. Because you started off, as you said, you were interested from your daughter's health well-being of nutrition and allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And was that the service that you started with?
No, it wasn't. Basically, the service I started with was weight loss.
Right.
Mainly because I was trying and I was on my journey and my husband was on his journey. Unfortunately, he took off and got on his journey better than I did. You know, 6 months later, I hit my roadblock of not being able to get any further, and research went into that. I tended to find that I was attracting a lot of people like myself with thyroid issues, some diabetes issues, and I haven't actually got diabetes, but I've spent the last 11 years preventing it, mm-hmm. much to the dismissal of my GP, who tells me I'm getting away with it every time I go and have my test. And
it's
I
funny
go, are you joking me?
They see a large person, the first test they want to do is the diabetes test.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, they go, oh, I think we better check it again. Oh, you've got away with it again. And I'm thinking, I sit there thinking, are you kidding me?
Mm.
You know, shocking sugar is one of the things that I teach the most. I've been going on about it for the last 11 years. Luckily, I think everybody's finally catching up. There's
it's
a lot
taken a
more
while,
about,
though, hasn't it? Because there's been this obsession with fat and the good fat, the bad fat, and proportions. But the sugar in everything has largely gone under the radar.
Yeah.
And it's finally come to the surface, hasn't it?
Not before long.
Yeah.
It should have come to light a long time ago. In fact, it actually did in the 60s. The book, the reason I do this talk called Shocking Sugar, Snow White and Deadly.
Okay.
And it's called Shocking Sugar actually after a book that was written in the 60s, titled that. And this doctor that wrote this book, he was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
But he got hounded out of science, bless him.
Oh, no.
And he's now being proved right. And we only went off track because of an American president having a heart attack and his GP putting him on a low-fat diet. And basically the world went wrong from that point on.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It
and
is.
At the times, and generally it is a scientist who says, oh, by the way, this is right or this is wrong and here's the evidence.
Mm.
And because it doesn't serve the industry, the manufacturer, government sponsorships, whatever it might be at the time, it's swept under the carpet.
Yeah. And it's messed with our food so much.
Mm.
I don't even know whether they're going to recover it. It's going to take the general public voting with their money to make things change because they have no other incentive but money, the food manufacturers, to change anything.
Well, it's a bit like at the moment with the arguments over the milk that you can buy a pint of milk for anything between 45 and 65p, but you can get 4 pints for a pound.
Mm.
It's great for the consumer, but it's not logical.
Yeah.
And therefore it's damaging the industry.
Exactly.
And ultimately, if you damage the industry, you're then going to damage the quality of the product.
Exactly.
And that's my soapbox for the morning.
Right? Yeah, don't get me on mine.
Right. So what are your specialisms now?
Well, I still do weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I do a weight loss challenge, so weight loss one-to-one or in-group sessions, which works, you know, gives people options. But through doing weight loss, my passion really lies with families.
Right.
I do the allergy testing on the side. That's something additional that I do because I'm really passionate about that. And I'm also passionate about the fact that there's a lot of bad advice about allergy testing out there. You know, people doing tests and saying you're allergic to something. And actually, that's not really the case. And if you tell somebody that they're wheat intolerant, they'll create the symptoms whether they are or not.
Mm-hmm.
So actually being able to get the right information out there and coach somebody through changes or swaps, as I call them.
And there's a difference, isn't there, between having an allergy to something and being intolerant to
Absolutely.
Something.
And actual allergies are very rare.
Mm-hmm.
And all intolerances can be got over.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a matter of knowing how to manage it. The allergy test is just the starting point.
Okay.
But that's sort of on the side.
On the side, but it's your family focus is what you're into at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, what I was finding was, well, not only my own family was on a big journey. I mean, we had to change a lot of things, dietary. I had physical issues, so we had to have contingents in there for fitness as well. And, you know, we've got a dog. It's the whole lifestyle and shopping habits and everything we've had to change over the years. Mm-hmm. And I found that, especially with female clients, I was changing their diet, but they weren't changing their family's diet. And that's a bit of a pet hate of mine. I mean, I'm very anti-diet anyway. And when I refer to that word, I'm talking about, you know, gimmicks to lose weight. Mm-hmm. I'm very anti that. But what I was finding was when you put a parent on a healthy eating plan, they were eating really healthy, but they weren't transmitting that into their family. So their families were carrying on eating a load of rubbish. And so when they reach the point where they think they've got an end point, they just go back to the wrong habits.
Because it's available, it's in the house, they're seeing it.
Exactly, and they've never really got over the bad habits. So I started teaching my clients how to change their family's breakfast and how to, you know, install better hydration habits and little, you know, cooking tips like swapping mashed potato for mashed sweet potato and butternut squash and celeriac, which is really tasty. You know, simple things like mm-hmm. that. So I found that the female clients actually did change their family's habits, and I thought that was brilliant. My male clients didn't.
Right.
They were really good to coach. In fact, they did everything they were told to do. So from a nutrition point of view for themselves, they were really great to coach. But they never transmitted it into their family because they thought they were stepping on their wife's toes, basically.
Right.
And that was where the idea of doing a family challenge and bringing, you know, the wife and the children in on it, that's how I came up with that idea.
So what is the challenge?
Well, I'm in a beta test for the challenge at
okay.
the moment.
So you've got some willing victims.
Yes, actually started by a male client mm-hmm. and I started talking to him about it. And again, he didn't want to talk to his wife about changing the evening meal. So I said, well, actually, I really want to do this. How about you be a beta test family? And they have. And I pitted my own family up against them.
Okay.
Mainly because I want to go through the process too, so mm-hmm. I can see firsthand where the pros and cons are and what needs changing. And we have identified a few changes already. So the challenge is basically a 12-week program where it doesn't have to be two families, it can be any number of families, come together and they have a family wellness evaluation. So we look at medical history, mm-hmm. what's going on with them all medically, dietarily, and they fill in their own forms even if they're a child.
Okay.
We look at their exercise, we look at their shopping habits, their eating habits, whether they eat in front of the TV, that sort of thing. And we also look at their goals. And then we get together on a weekly basis and each week is a lesson. So, I mean, this particular challenge, I started off with hitting them between the eyes with Snow White, Shocking Sugar and Snow White and Deadly, just because sugar is one of the biggest issues.
Yeah.
And I actually knew from one of the families that it, for one particular member, it was mm-hmm. a big issue. So it's a place to start. I've since discovered actually it's not the place to start. So, because a few lessons down the line. So the next week we looked at eating habits and conscious eating. I got them to eat breakfast in front of me and, you know, select the forkful and eat it consciously and identify the point where food changed flavour. Because
there is that thing, isn't it? The first mouthful is generally the best.
Yes.
You get all the flavours exploding yeah. and the textures.
Yeah.
And then two to six later, you're just eating.
Yes. And that's the point where you're full.
Okay.
It's where you don't actually need to eat. It's actually a fascinating thing. I'm actually quite fascinated about the tongue. It is a fascinating. It's like a chemical analyzer.
Okay.
And it is designed to taste what it needs and not taste what it doesn't. So when it loses its flavor, you've had enough. But generally, we just carry on eating because we don't recognise it.
And it's on the plate.
It's
you
on
assume
the plate.
That I need to, it's that old thing of you're not leaving the table until your plate is empty.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and that's, plates.
That's fascinating.
It yeah. is fascinating. And I just, really ticks my boxes.
Because there's the other school of thought. Some nutritionists, dietitians, whatever you want to call them, say, you know, your stomach's only the size of a fist, and therefore your portion size needs to be that. And if you gave an adult male a portion the size of his fist, he'd go, and the rest, please.
Yeah,
but if you follow the taste test that you've just described,
it's very different.
It's very different, isn't it?
But you know, because your stomach is elastic for a reason.
Mm.
If you only ate the size of it, then it wouldn't be elastic.
No.
So it's all relative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like all the different views on this program, so we always like to test our clients with guests. Sorry, call you a client, never mind. Our guests with what other people have told us, and it's interesting to hear different viewpoints. Mm. But I am loving your taste test because there is that thing that first taste, and you think, oh yes, and then the second taste is not quite the same, and then you're losing it.
Well, me and my eldest daughter sat down to eat something, and she went, oh, I can't taste this, and I went, it's really quite a strong flavour. She went, I can't taste it. And I went, well, maybe you're not hungry. She went, actually, I'm not, and pushed it aside.
Well, we need that as a slogan.
Yeah.
Except, unfortunately, for all of those people out there who might have lost their sense of taste. It's not so easy for them.
No, not so easy for them.
That's another show.
That's when they need to look at portion control.
Yes. Now, you're calling it a family wellbeing challenge.
Yeah.
Now, a challenge for a lot of people sounds like it's a competition.
Yeah.
So is that a right, by calling it a competition, is that right? And is it within the family or is it against the other family?
No, it's within the family. Right. It's a challenge to change.
Okay.
Now, whether the eventual challenge that comes out has some kind of prize, I don't know yet, because I don't know how we would measure how they would win.
Right.
Because this is a challenge not about weight loss or a specific, although, you know, I am doing ways and measures with some of them because that is one of their goals, but I'm not putting them on a weight management program at all.
Mm-hmm.
But naturally they are changing things. So eventually they will. So there's nothing really that we can measure to actually for them to win anything. So the challenge is basically for themselves to change.
Yeah. Now, I came across, I don't know if you're aware of this, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay. I came across a paper whilst preparing for today. It's Family Wellbeing, Measuring What Matters, Identifying and Validating Domains by the National Centre for Social Research.
Right.
And they've identified, and you've mentioned all of these, if not on air, when we were outside talking before, that bringing the family together and supporting covers eating, moving.
Yep.
So exercise, walking, whatever,
connecting,
so that's eating together rather than separately and doing things together, learning, which you're doing by finding out about what to eat, when to do things, playing, and giving.
Yes, totally.
Totally?
Totally agree.
Ticking
with all
the boxes
those.
Here,
yes,
are we?
Definitely.
Excellent. Anything that's missing from that in your mind?
Listening and forgiving.
Listening. Oh, I like that.
Yes. So one of the things that I installed right from the beginning was that the challenge for each participant is an even playing field, and everyone has a voice, including the children, and that they are in a safe environment to air their views without the parents jumping down their throat.
Yeah.
And that really makes a difference. And it also helps to teach the parents to listen.
Yeah.
And you find that children are not saying things because they don't feel that they can. And actually, the parents are thankful that they finally did. And it's just giving them that voice.
So it's turning them back from individuals into that family unit, which is brilliant.
And it's vital. Yeah.
Segue into our next piece of music.
Okay.
Before we go, I just need to have a shout out here. Metis Women have been in touch.
We're
going to be talking about Metis Women later in the show. It doesn't say who. So one of your ladies from Metis Women has said, hello, Debs and Jan on Who Cares Wins from Metis Women.
Oh.
So hello back at you. If you can.
Hi, guys.
If we can name some names, we'll give you a shout out on the show, but we will be talking Metis Women later on. But we've just been talking about turning individuals within a household back into a family. And so I think a great piece of music to support that is Sister Sledge and We Are Family. Okay.
say, can they be that close? Just let me state for the record, we're giving love in a family dog.
We are family.
Hey,
I got all my sisters in me. We are family. Get up everybody and sing.
Sing it to me.
We are family. I got all my sisters with me. We
just begun to get our share of this world's delight.
High,
high hopes we have for the future and our goals in sight.
We
know we don't get depressed. Here's what we call our golden rule.
Have faith in you and the things you do. You won't go wrong.
Oh no, this is our family jewel.
Life is about small changes we can make to be healthier. For loads of ideas to cut back fat, watch the salt, make sugar swaps, or get your five a day, just search online for Change for Life.
And welcome back to Who Cares Wins. It's Jan in the studio today. Angela, we're wishing you well, wishing your mother well, hoping good news is coming out from today and that you'll be back with us soon. My guest is Deborah Mulvaney from Shaping Wellness. We were bopping there for
a bit. Definitely.
Weren't we?
I love that song.
Takes me back. We're both of an age, so we have these shared memories, even though we didn't share them at the time. Now, we were talking the importance of bringing that family, the individuals within the family back to a unit,
mm-hmm.
And setting them the wellness challenge. We've covered briefly things like the eating and the fitness and the forgiving and the listening, and mm-hmm. I do like that. But obviously to do all of that, you've got to put food in the house in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So that implies we've got to go shopping
yeah.
and not be swayed by all those what we think are lovely treats. And some supermarkets are getting the message of not putting the temptation aisle as we get to checkout.
Mm.
But you said something very interesting, that you went shopping with your challenge family.
We did, yes.
How was that?
It was
for them and you.
It was brilliant. Yeah, a couple of the members didn't quite like the outcome.
Okay.
But have since, you know, made changes, which is good. But the idea of the shopping challenge was actually to show them, part of the challenge was actually to help them not waste money.
Right.
And sometimes eating healthy can be more expensive. But I found that... I'm terrible in supermarkets. I'm looking at people's baskets. I'm horrendous. You know, it's like you do that with your own profession,
yes.
don't you?
Yes.
I have a lymphedema nurse that looks at people's legs. So it's just like shopping baskets is a bit mild. I find that people buy the wrong things, but they overbuy. They go to Tesco's, say, or Sainsbury's, whatever.
Other reputational markets do
yes.
exist.
And they just buy. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any plan in action. And they just fill up their store cupboards.
Right.
And half of it goes out of date or gets tucked away because it's gone off. And they waste a lot of money. So I set both families a challenge to do a stock take of their entire food stores.
Mm-hmm.
So fridges, freezers, everything. And although I'm proud to say my family didn't throw away too much, there was an awful lot of waste. I mean, a whole shop's worth of waste of things that had gone out of date or basically things that people had got bored of and it had gone off. And very rarely are people actually shopping for meals and things that they actually need. And so there's a lot of wastage. So
I must say, I've done it myself. I do have a shopping list with me yeah. every time I go. and people laugh at me with my, you know, attention to detail. But I can often come back from the supermarket and sit down and say, well, what am I going to have this evening?
Yeah.
And I haven't actually shopped for today. Yeah. I've shopped to stock.
Well, that was one of the comments that was actually in the some of the, you know, the wellness evaluation, that a couple of both members said that they struggle in the evening because they don't know what to have. And it's like, let's go and see what we've got in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's far better to actually have a plan. So I bought them both a chalkboard and wrote on it this week's menu.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically looked at the evening meal. It's the evening meal is where people struggle mostly.
Right.
And
is there a reason for that?
Basically because people know what they're having for breakfast and lunch. It depends, obviously, where they are, but lunch tends to be a given.
Sort of happens.
It just happens. But evening meal is something that they have to create.
Mm.
So unless they're eating ready meals, they've got to think about what they want. They've got to have the ingredients in and they've got to make it. And they often struggle with that.
Okay.
So the challenge was to create a 7-day menu for their evening meal, but also take into consideration breakfast and lunch and shop for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they had to take into consideration what they already had in stock. So, and basically encourage them to sit and make their shopping, their weekly shopping list from a chosen menu every week in their kitchen, bearing in mind what they've got in the cupboards. So, and both families saved money in the first 2 weeks.
I was going to say, because whilst at first thought you think, oh, to eat healthy, that's fresh fruit and veg, and that might cost more than a tin of beans or whatever, mm-hmm. that in the long run, if you're eating what you've spent, you're not spending to stock so much.
Exactly.
You must be saving money.
Yeah.
And probably not being tempted by the 3-for-1 offers or whatever.
When you've got a list, it's a lot easier to resist things like that, especially if you're going with an idea of this is what we need and that's all I'm going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at the start of the conversation, we were talking about nutrition and your daughter's intolerances mm-hmm. and problems there. But are there some key points when people are developing their shopping list that they should either be looking for or avoiding in terms of food groups?
Yeah, definitely. They tend to, I mean, if you look at a supermarket, you know, all the fresh produce and the meat and dairy and stuff is in one little bit. The rest of the other food aisles are all full of carbohydrate.
Okay.
You know, there's a whole aisle dedicated to biscuits and crisps and sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's two. And it's just to be aware of how much carbohydrate people are buying. You know, it's actually, I say finally, the World Health Organization reckons that an adult female of their ideal body weight should consume 90 grams of sugar. What people are not aware of, because food manufacturers basically bombard them with various words, is that all carbohydrate is ultimately sugar.
Okay.
So they need to be looking at total carbs. And if you discount the carbs that are in fruits and veggies because they're healthy, you need to stick to 90 grams a day with the rest of the stuff. And actually the government has just halved that. Not before time. Because
mm-hmm.
the original figures were funded by the sugar industry, funnily enough.
Funnily enough.
So, but even people are not even sticking to the old figures. You know, when you analyse, when I've analysed people's daily intake of things, and a really good app for analysing things is MyFitnessPal online. It's free. And it's a great app because you can add your food in and it'll break it down to protein, carbs, fat and all that sort of stuff.
I was just going to say to you, so, you know, you have this 90 grams of sugar and I'm looking at the fruit and veg aisle and how can I possibly know what an apple's contained?
You can discount that because that's healthy.
Right.
Healthy carbs, and if you don't take those into consideration, you can actually get enough carbohydrate out of fruits and veggies if you eat enough.
Right. Okay.
And I'm talking 9 to 10 portions a day.
Because there's also that debate, isn't there, that in the UK at the moment we're talking 5 a day.
Yeah.
But there's some countries in Europe that are saying 10 or 12.
Even
or
in the UK it's more than 5 a day now.
Is it? Right.
But the government here were more... Yes, we know it's 10, but let's tell them 5 because they might reach that. But they should have told them 10 in the first place.
And then if
they might
7,
have got to 5.
Yeah.
Because people don't even eat 5.
Mm.
In China, it's 19.
19, wow. That's
so,
a big,
I mean, and it's all, it's not, It's a bit of a nightmare, really, because it depends what you're eating as to whether you how many you need. Mm-hmm. If you're growing your own veg and it's organic and you're picking it ripe and you're eating it that day, you won't need so much because all the nutrients that your body needs are in it. It's all of our shopping habits, our storing habits. They tend to grow veg in depleted soils, so the vitamins and minerals are not there in the first place. They pick them unripe, mm-hmm. so they don't develop. They store them from a long time. It depletes them even more. And that's why we need more. Mm-hmm. I mean, even from a carrot point of view, for instance, it has less than 20% of the beta carotene in today as it had 20 years ago.
That's a big change, isn't it?
It's a massive
change. And
that's
how it's being grown and how it's being harvested.
Yeah. So that's where the numbers come from, and it's also where the variance of numbers come from. So if you've got an allotment and you grow your own, then you're okay. You don't need to eat so much.
So we're going to get you all digging for the summer, ready for your crops for the winter.
That would be the best thing. Yeah. You know, eating organic is the next best alternative. But if you eat veg out of a supermarket because that's what you can afford, mm-hmm. then unfortunately you need to eat a bit more.
And I also saw an article, I can't remember what program it was on, that was saying that frozen vegetables can sometimes have more minerals, vitamins in than
absolutely
standard harvest yeah. because the time it takes the standard harvest to reach us, that every day, every hour, the vitamins are dying.
It's actually not just that. And actually, especially clients that need to do a budget, I advise them to do frozen.
Right.
Because often they're picked ripe and they're frozen on the day and their nutrients are preserved. So they have more nutrition in them than the stuff in the fresh aisle.
Yeah.
The only thing you've got to be wary of is that some manufacturers dye their peas, for instance, a bit more green.
So would that be on the label?
Yes.
That's all right, then check your labels.
Check your labels.
And you were mentioning hydration, which we always cover on the show, but it's particularly in the summer.
Oh, it's hydration a massive is vital. Issue. Hydration can, or dehydration can cause so many problems. It's the biggest reason why people don't lose weight. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest reason why people put weight on. You know, poor concentration. You know, you drop your hydration by just 2% and you drop your cognitive abilities by 20.
It's a big drop.
It's a big drop. And it is a big issue.
Yeah.
I think I read some years ago now, so I'm not quite sure what the stats are now, but they reckon 70% of the UK were dehydrated to some degree or another. And I see it a lot.
Yeah. Well, I see it in the work that I do. I visit people in offices, factories, wherever, and there's not a drink in sight. Now, obviously, in some industries, there's a health and safety reason why there's no fluids on the work floor. Mm. But in an office, generally, there's no reason.
No.
And people have got past the spilling the coffee on the keyboard thing, which happened in the early days. And I mentioned that stat to them, and people are quite shocked.
Mm.
And generally, there is a coffee place available. There is a water cooler somewhere, or they can take their own bottles in. But people just don't think of the importance of it, and then wonder why they're getting headaches,
exactly.
wonder why their productivity dips in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So we're on the same page.
That mid-afternoon slump can be caused just by dehydration.
Yeah. So just another glass of water whenever you
absolutely.
Think about it. But you can also drink too much, can't you?
You can.
There is that risk.
And see, this is one of those things where a little bit too much information is a bit dangerous.
Right.
So there is a calculation for how much people need, and I'm not going to give it out live because it is a dangerous calculation.
Yeah, and we're all different.
And we are all different.
Yeah.
It's dependent on your weight, so I will need a lot more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're drinking or need to drink more than 3 litres, you have a danger of flushing out all the salts in your body.
Right.
So you need to replace them. So if your fluid levels need to be higher than that, you have to supplement them with mineral salts.
Okay.
So for some kind of hydration drink.
And you'd probably be at that point seeking advice either from somebody like yourself or your GP.
Yeah. You never, ever go over 3 litres without good advice.
Right. And protein. Now,
protein's
one that I struggle with. What is a protein?
Protein, meat.
Right.
Yes. Nuts have protein, beans, pulses, avocado, that sort of thing.
Cheese.
Yes, very good protein.
But a risky protein, that one,
it
I guess.
It can be risky if you overindulge, yes.
But you found my secret habit, cheese.
As I say, everything in moderation. And that's not just different types of cheese, by the way.
Oh, spoiled all my fun then. Okay, and you said that a lot of people are under protein.
Yeah, they don't realise how much they need to stay fit and well. And you often see it in the difference between older people and younger people. You know, you can have a female, same BMI, for instance, same height, same weight, but one's 18 and the other's 70-odd. The actual makeup of their body can be very different. Mm. And it's basically, you know, if you did a cross-section of their legs, you know, and the young person, it would be very meaty, shall we say, for want of a lack of being able to show you a picture. But the old lady, the meaty bit would be a little tiny ring and the rest would be fat.
Right.
And it's basically because they've reduced the amount of protein they eat as they grow older and their body exchanges it for fat. It's not an exchange, but you digest your own muscle and you build up fat. And the reason for that is that your body needs protein every day. You know, blood cells, hormones, enzymes are all made out of protein. And you have to get it. If you don't get it from your diet, your body will take it from your muscles. And it's as simple as that. And there's no need to go down that aging route as long as you keep the protein levels at a reasonable amount. You know, the British Medical Foundation say around about 60 grams is the minimum.
Okay. And what was that app again that you said that we could look things up on?
MyFitnessPal.
MyFitnessPal.
Yeah.
So we'll try and find that link and pop that onto Facebook after the show.
Oh, it's a brilliant tool.
Now, we could go on, as always. I am fascinated by the topic and the work you do, but we are fast running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's interest has been piqued by what they've heard today and they want to get in touch with you, how best to find you?
Well, I wouldn't say the internet. My internet presence has been a bit of an issue because I've never really had much of an internet presence apart from a Herbalife shop. So you could be forgiven for getting confused on the internet. But we are building a website that bypasses that issue. So you can actually go on that now and contact me.
And that's www.shapingwellness.co.uk. Excellent. So remember the .co.uk because that's the important thing at the moment.
Yes.
You're also on Twitter, but a novice.
A very big novice, yes.
So we found that Deborah does check her Twitter feed, but we're encouraging her to tweet a little bit more, and that's Shaping Wellness, one word. And you've got Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook's the best place to find me. I have a page, Shaping Wellness, and I do update that quite a lot.
Okay. We will, as always, post all of Deborah's contact details on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn after the show. So you can find her there if you've got any questions for her. But Deborah, this time of the show, we normally have a few minutes on events coming up. And you have a different hat.
I do. I'm a Metis Women founder.
And Metis Women is?
Metis Women is an organisation that helps women in business develop formulate collaborations between other women in business, maybe of the same field, and we help teach. So it's basically a networking group, but it goes that much further.
Okay.
It has all the elements that I believe that I got out of networking that helped me develop my business, and I wanted to be able to put that in front of other women.
And so where do you meet?
We have a meeting in Faversham. Mm-hmm. At Just Folly. We also have one in Maidstone and one in Dartford currently. And hopefully in October we will have one in Ashford.
Excellent. So expanding.
Yes.
And you have talks. And you mentioned earlier that you're giving a couple of talks.
Yeah. So part of the meeting's very structured. So the part of the meeting, there is a learn session.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from one of our more established members that basically give back to the people they teach something. So it's part of their expertise. So I'm actually doing two talks this month. So I'm at Maidstone on Friday, talking about the importance of taking a break.
So it's Friday the 15th in Maidstone.
Yes.
Time?
9 till 12.
And venue?
The Orchard Suite, which is near Birstead.
If somebody says, oh, I didn't get my pen and paper ready quickly enough, is there a Metis Women website? Or?
There is, metiswomen.co.uk. Everything is on there.
And that's M-E-T-I-S.
Yes.
very quickly on the spot, why Metis?
Ah, good question. When we were looking, we had the idea. It was me and a few other networking friends, Caroline Love and Amanda Holgis. We came up with the idea of doing it. And we were looking for names, and we'd come across Athena, and we thought we'd like something, a name that means something. So I asked my eldest daughter, who's really into Greek mythology, and I said, do you know of a Greek goddess that means, you know, wisdom or something? And she went, well, there is a Titan goddess, Metis, who is the goddess of wisdom and wise counsel. And I went, perfect. And that was it.
Oh, excellent. So again, we'll post a link to Metis Women on Facebook. Thank you so much for joining me in the studio today,
Deborah. Pleasure. It's been wonderful.
And we are, always running out of time. Just a couple of other general events postings that throughout Kent in August, September, October and November, there are free Live It Well events. If you search liveitwell.org.uk, then there's links to Ways to Wellbeing and seminars, and they're all free. Also, if you're in Norfolk, run by the NHS, there are free wellbeing taster events throughout August. And if you search www.readytochange.org/Norfolk/events, you should find something there. Now, next week and for a few weeks to come, Andrew and I are going to be working away from the studio. Some of it's holiday for some of us, one of us, both of us, but mostly it's working. It's interviewing guests for future shows, as we did last year, take a few weeks from the studio in the summer. So the computer will randomly select some repeats from the last 12 months for your delight and delectation over the coming weeks. So we hope you enjoy those. We won't be live in the studio, but we will be watching the Twitter feed, the email and Facebook page. So if you have any messages for us, any questions for us or any of our previous guests, please do get in touch. Likewise, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please do get in touch. We are booking now from mid-September onwards, and we will be back live in the studio on Monday, the 21st of September. And say, we'll be doing a lot in between now and then, so we will be posting and letting you know about our updates. And the same with all of our guests. And so, Deborah, if you have anything that you're doing across the summer months, you can post on our Facebook page. And we will share those with everybody. So for those of you that are already on your summer holiday breaks, you may have children and are taking a few breaks. And so that for those that are planning, we have a brilliant song to play you out today. It's going to be Madonna and Holiday. So everybody enjoy the summer, hoping the summer continues into September and beyond when we come back. Thank you again, Deborah, for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back with you soon. Bye for now.
Bye.